Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of me? How do I make sense out of a loved one who's failing? How do I answer the two great questions of life? Who's going to take care of me? And how am I going to pay for it? Glad to have you with us. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, in our 19th year on KFBK. I have so many things today to talk about. I'm going to go through a list at the beginning of the show and kind of decide, because I think I know what I'm going to talk about. It's an article here that, anyhow, you'll hear about it in a minute. Glad to have you with us. A couple things, remember, I'm not an attorney, I don't practice law, I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what they're talking about. I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license that allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I have I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. So I'm not tax licensed. I don't want to be. We've gotten to the point in life, folks, where I have to say everything that's not true, in addition to all the stuff that is true. In the second half an hour, I want to get, if I can find it, I can't find it right now. But I want to get to an article in the newspaper from the local newspaper last week, and I hope I can find it somewhere, but I want to get to that in the second half an hour. Remember, everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, financial, or tax advice. I'm right most of the time, but check it out. Got a workshop coming up. If you happen to listen to this show before September the 9th, if you're listening to this on my website, you want to get to the workshop on September the 9th. If you missed the workshop on September the 9th, I will be doing one in October. I do one every month. But the year is drawing to a close. I'm doing one on October the 7th. So if you have not been to one of my workshops, you should plan on getting there. Lots of ways to get a hold of me. One is go to my website, assets, assets, and aging, aging, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com. You can go there. My phone number's there. You can read my blogs. You can listen to my podcast. You can listen to interviews. You can read interviews. You can get information. You can sign up for workshops. You can sign up to be on my newsletter list and get my blogs automatically and other information. You can do all of that right out there on my website, assetsandaging.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @assetsandaging. And on our Facebook page, Assets and Aging. So lots of stuff. The Facebook page is just getting up and running, so it may be a little thin, as they say. Don't worry about it. Lots of ways to get in touch with me. So if you're dealing with a fragile situation, give me a call. Now, in our second half hour, we're going to talk about an article that was on the front page of the local newspaper last Saturday, the 2nd. And it's nursing home closing after patient sex abuse case. I want to talk about that article a little bit. It's always interesting when stuff happens at a nursing home or a hospital or an assisted living or whatever. It's almost never the entire story, and this is not the entire story. I've been doing this for 25 years. I've been in every nursing home within 30 miles, 40 miles a year, most of them on multiple occasions. I know what happens in nursing homes. I see what happens in nursing homes. I've talked to administrators. I talk to people in nursing homes. I've got clients in nursing homes. I need to talk about this in a different context. So in the second half hour, we're going to be talking about that headline in the local paper dated Saturday, September the 2nd. But the first thing, and I've got so much stuff here. I got 19 questions. Listen to my last podcast. I have a letter here from somebody that I just saved them over $300,000 in a federal estate and a state recovery claim. I've got stuff here on new court cases. I'm loaded. But the two things I want to focus on in the first half hour, I want to focus on an article in Consumer Reports. Now, we all grew up with Consumer Reports. Again, lots of ways to get in touch with me. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. You can call me. When you go to the website, you can send me an email. You can sign up for a workshop. You can get more information. There is no reason for anybody. This is still California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. It is California's single best source. Okay. Oh, we all grew up with Consumer Reports. When you grew up and I grew up, Consumer Reports, if you wanted to buy a car, you found out what was the best car. If you wanted to buy a refrigerator, it would tell you which one was the best refrigerator. If you wanted to, get a toaster, it would tell you which toaster was the best toaster. Well, Consumer Reports has branched out into now they're the official experts on everything. And one of the, they're the official expert on taxes, they're the official expert on healthcare, they're the official expert on everything. And they've become now one of the official experts on senior issues. And I'm not a member of Consumer Reports. An elder law attorney actually told me to read this, and he said, you're not going to believe what you're going to read, and he's right. Because if people read this and believed this, they would be receiving a lot of bad advice, in my opinion. This is from, I don't know when this is from. It's from Consumer Reports August the 31st. It's written by somebody named Penelope Wang. I don't know who that is, but that's the author of this article in Consumer Reports, and it's called Elder Care and Assisted Living. Who will care for you? Now, if you've been listening to me for how many years, what are the two great questions? Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? I've been saying that for 20 years. Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? So what's the title of this article? Elder Care and Assisted Living, Who Will Care for You? It's one of the two great questions. It's not new. But I want to give you what the prevailing wisdom is out there and then go from there. Because I think it's important. I think it's important for you to understand. There's so many people, one of the fastest growing areas of elder issues there are assisted living facilities, boarding cares and assisted living. There are 400 boarding cares and assisted livings in Sacramento County. Last time I checked. You see new assisted living facilities being put up everywhere. And this is an attempt to talk about that. It's an attempt to talk about it without having done much research or ever having been in one. But I want to read it only in the sense of this is kind of the prevailing wisdom. This is the stuff that's out there. One of the hardest things I have to overcome, and other people who do what I do, elder law attorneys who do what I do, is undoing the junk that's out there. What's the old saying that a lie goes around the world three times before the truth gets its pants on or something like that? Well, there is so much misinformation. I had somebody referred to me yesterday, and when I talked to them, their parent was in a nursing home getting ready to get transferred. They didn't know whether he had been admitted or observed. They had gone to a care consultant who was going to find them an assisted living, a boarding care to live in. That placement agent didn't tell them that they were going to make a lot of money on that. Aborted care was not an appropriate placement for this person. They were very ill, and they don't know what to do. They've been told all kinds of stuff, and they're to the point where they don't know who to believe and who to trust. And I said, look, you're going to have to make your best decision, but the information you're getting is not correct. And they said, we're so confused. I called them this morning, and they're now even more confused because they've gotten more information, almost all of it erroneous. And here's where this stuff comes from. I'm reading from this article from Consumer Report, written by Penelope, I think it's Wang, okay, in August of this year. In 2010, so-and-so, 89 years old, was living alone in this city, and his wife died. A friend suggested that he, as everyone called him, get an apartment in the assisted living facility where he also lived. He soon settled into an assisted living facility. It doesn't matter. He had a buddy there, and he got along with the director, so he fit in very quickly, said his daughter, who lives nearby. He was especially pleased by the dining service, which made grilled bacon and cheese sandwiches one of his favorites on request. For 6 years, he was happy, but in the spring of 2016, when he was 95, now, stop and think for a minute. This person went in when they were 89. Why did they go to assisted living when they were 89? Because it wasn't good for them to be alone. This is someone who's frail, who's becoming more frail, who may be developing dementia. Half of all people over 85 have some form of dementia to some degree. And he's now 95. When he began to show small signs of cognitive impairment. That is such a crock, folks. I hear that all the time. Dad has a little dementia. It's like being a little pregnant. It's like having a little heart disease. You either have it or you don't have it. And it's going to get, in the case of pregnancy, bigger. And in the case of dementia, it's going to get worse. But he only had small signs of cognitive impairment. He's 95 years old. Now listen to this. This is from the daughter. Once he forgot where he was going. Only once? It's only once that you know of. How many of you out there are dealing with a parent and you're saying the same thing in your head? Well, Dad's not too bad. Dad's not too bad. He's not too bad. He only got lost once. That's the once you know about. And then the next statement is, he forgot where he was going, and another time he tried to unlock the apartment next door by mistake. That happens all the time. Now, what if he'd opened the door and the resident next door was in the bathroom? Do you think that would be a good thing to happen or a bad thing, that he didn't know what apartment he was going to? And if it happened once, I can guarantee you it happened more than once, but the writer of this article never asks those questions. They accept the diagnosis of small signs of cognitive impairment. We all have cognitive impairment, folks. All of us, as we get older, have problems remembering somebody's name, or we may remember where, but to get lost and to not remember which apartment is yours is beyond, I can't remember what I did with the keys or my glasses. A newly arrived facility director insisted that the incidents meant he needed more supervision than the residents could provide. That meant his family would have to move him to a facility with a memory care unit or hire additional caregivers. That is a really common occurrence, and people aren't prepared for it. Mom and Dad are living happily in assisted living, or happily in independent living, or wherever they are, and nobody ever asked the question, what happens when they can't stay there anymore? It's a really important question. The family was reluctant to consider changing residence. It was too early to move him, said the daughter. My dad was still very functional. Remember, he only has a little cognitive impairment. He only gets lost and forgets what apartment he's in. My dad was still very functional, would have been surrounded by people far more impaired. he's going to become very impaired, folks. Again, I've talked for years about how guilt drives this subject, and this is a classic case of it. The family met with the director and agreed to hire private caregivers to keep a closer eye on him. He had veterans' disability benefits that covered the additional cost, which came on top. That means he probably had aid and attendance, not disability. The writer of this article doesn't know the difference between the two. He had veterans' disability benefits, which covered the additional cost, which came on top of the $4,000 a month for the room. So he's probably now spending $6,000 a month. $6,000 a month. Let that sink in. Per month, for room, board, and an aide who checked in several times a day and helped him shower and dress. With the additional aides, he was permitted to remain in his apartment until he died in whatever. We couldn't get it into our heads, said the daughter, how we were paying for assisted living when there was not much assistance. Are you kidding me? He needed help bathing and dressing, and he got lost inside the building. He lost his way. He didn't know what apartment he was in, and he has cognitive impairment. Do you hear the denial that's going on in the family? And of course, the author of the article never writes about that, because that is an important issue when we're dealing with a loved one who's beginning to fail, is the family's inability to come to grips with what's really happening. Can you hear the denial in all of that? He's 95 years old. He has cognitive impairment. He needs help dressing and bathing. I'm just reading this stuff out. Then they talk about the caregiver gap, how there's a loss of, you know, there's more people who need care than there are facilities. I'm going to talk more about that in the second half hour when we talk about the closing of a nursing home here in Sacramento. Let me find the other one. Here it is. Now listen to this. As of 2014, about 835,000 older Americans resided in assisted living, up from 733,000 in 2010. Now, so that's a 14 statistic. That's already 3 years old. And in the previous 4 years, it went up 100,000 seniors. What do you think it's done since 2014? It's probably approaching at least 1 million people who are in assisted living. I think they're being naive, because that doesn't count boarding cares, and it doesn't count home care, and it doesn't count all of that other stuff. They're just talking about official statistics for the big assisted living, and that's from the CDC. But all too often, as the family discovered, assisted living communities lack the resources or expertise to meet the needs of a population that requires increasingly intensive medical care. As we get older, we require more care. And here's one of the brilliant statements. And this is from... let's see, I want to make sure I attribute it to this. It's the board of directors of an association, and I don't want to give out their name because I don't want to make, but she says something brilliant in this article. Not the author, somebody that she interviewed, and she doesn't follow up on this. Many assisted living facilities are taking residents who have no business being there. I can't tell you how many times I see it, elder law attorneys see it, advocates see it, all kinds of people see it, that there are people in assisted living who really, they're too sick to be there. It's one of the reasons why this whole memory care stuff started. Remember, memory care is just another form of assisted living. I'm not picking on assisted living, folks, but I live in Realville. There's lots of assisted living facilities I love. They're an important part of the machine. But you need to understand, as your mom and dad or your husband or wife ages, what the limitations are and what kind of care you're going to be facing. It's really, really important you understand how to pick an assisted living, how to do all that stuff. In 2016, according to Genworth, the median cost for a one-bedroom was $3,600 a month. That was the median cost. That means half of the people were above that and half of the people were below that. That's $45,000 annually. In California, it's easily over $60,000 a year for assisted living. Not a nursing home, assisted living. And by the way, Medicare and Medi-Cal don't pay for assisted living. You do. Many nursing homes take Medi-Cal, but I'm reading from the article. But at press time, because of the ongoing healthcare debate in Congress, the program's future funding was uncertain. No, it's not. The Medi-Cal that was under discussion in Congress has nothing to do with long-term care or nursing homes. Again, the person writing this article is completely ignorant about how this all works. And the problem is that this stuff goes out to people and they read it and they believe it's true. I'm going to read another statement to you from this article, and you tell me if this is ever true. More regulation would probably improve residents' access to assistance, consumer advocates say. No, it just leads to more lawsuits, more regulations, more people being denied, more facilities not taking people, more restrictions, more regulation almost never helps anything. Anybody that knows anything about government knows that when government tries to run most things, it generally does not get better. There's more I could read. Adequate staffing is especially critical for dementia care, a fast-growing service now offered by about 60% of assisted living facilities. It typically costs about $5,000 a month. In California, it's more like $6,000 to $7,000 for memory care. You have to understand the different levels of care. You have to understand what kind of help you're going to need, how many ADLs can that person perform, what's the reality of what they're looking at. And I can't tell you what a disservice this article does. Here's the kind of stuff that make sure your family member has a medical evaluation or from a primary care. Are you kidding me? The medical evaluation does not always determine. The doctor's not going to tell you what level of care you need. I don't have more time to spend on this article. I don't. And if I did, I would just probably... There's some good advice in it, like try to make multiple visits to a facility. Seek the advice of somebody who's knowledgeable in this area. Determine what the real costs of care are. They're not what you think they are. They're always greater than what you've been told. What about, can somebody be kicked out because they become too ill to stay there and more? My point in reading the article is not to belittle the author or Consumer Reports. My problem is that a lot of this stuff is never examined in full. And so people get a partial story and they think, oh, okay, I only need to look at this and this and this. If you're considering any kind of care for your parent, loved one, spouse, you need to understand the reality of what their care level is, what their needs are, all of those kinds of things. You need to understand. I'm going to talk in the second half hour about nursing homes a little bit, and we're going to talk about those in a way you've never heard talked about before. But understanding those two questions, this doesn't even begin to answer who's going to take care of me. Even though the article says, who will care for you? You better know the answer to that and at what level of care and at what cost of care. The answers to all of those make a huge difference in someone's life. I have someone that lives south of Sacramento that the hospital wanted to discharge that person to somebody in this area or in that area down there, but the nearest relative lives in San Francisco. And I said, why don't they discharge your relative to San Francisco so you can be close? And they said, well, the hospital never told me we could do that. As a result of that phone call, one of the children now will be able to see mom and better take care of her. It's important for you to understand how this functions. Get to one of my workshops. Set up an appointment with me to talk about how do we place and where and under what circumstance. The consultation is free. Give me a call during the break, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. Begin to make a difference in the long-term care equation for your family. Figure out who's going to take care of me and how we're going to pay for it. I'll be back after a short break, and then we're going to talk about some other stuff. So don't go away. Be back in just a few seconds right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I want to talk about something really, really important. Yeah, it's an article in the Saturday, September 2nd issue of the local newspaper. And I've got to be really, really careful when I talk about this, because this is a really sensitive subject, and it's a subject that people get very upset over. So I want you to know going in that when I talk about this, everything I'm going to talk about is my opinion only. It's based on my experience and may not be applicable to you or your family or anyone else you know. They're just my editorial comments on a situation that happens all the time, more than you know. And the tragedy is that when this kind of stuff happens, the public will never really know what went on, why it went on, how it happened, or whatever. Let me give you my contact information again. If you're dealing with someone who's becoming more frail, who's struggling, you're struggling with care issues or care decisions, you can reach me in a couple different ways. The best way is my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. There you can email me, you can read my podcasts, you can listen to them, you can read my blog, you can listen to my radio shows, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop, you can sign up for an appointment, you can read articles, you can find out answers to stuff, and then get in touch with me. My consultation is free so that you can be helped in what you're doing and what's important as you age or that person that you love ages. I'm 72 years old, folks. I'm aging. My wife is not as old as I am, but she's old too. We're aging. We're going to face more and more stuff. All of our friends are aging. We're not only facing friends who are dying now, we're facing friends who are becoming incapacitated. It happens to all of us. You can't escape it. The only thing that escapes aging is dying young, and that has its own set of issues. So when I talk about this stuff, it's coming out of 25 years of having seen everything, almost maybe not everything, but most things, and observed it and watched it and listened to it and pondered on it. And it's important, and I'm passionate about it, and we're going to talk about it. So in the local paper on Saturday, September 2nd, front page, nursing home closing after patient's sex abuse case. The first thing I'm going to tell you is later on in the article, when they announce that the nursing home's closing, they don't give a reason. Now, the first thing you know is that the masthead on this thing, the headline, is misleading. Now, was there a sex abuse case at the nursing home? Yes, it was one patient against another patient. So not a staff member, not something that doesn't lessen it at all. I'm not trying to do any of that kind of stuff. I'm trying to teach you how to read about this stuff, because it's one of the reasons why the cost of care is being driven up. And understand that the implications of a 126-bed nursing home closing their doors is huge for Sacramento. If you take 126-bed nursing home beds out of the supply chain, what do you think it does? It makes other beds harder to come by and makes private pay beds go up in cost. It makes care more expensive. It gives the public less choice. It makes them more suspect of everything that moves. I don't know what happened here, folks. I wasn't there. Neither was the author. Everything is third party. It's somebody said, somebody told him, somebody something. That's fine. I'm trying to talk about the greater implications of this and how, when you look at nursing homes and you read articles, how to read them. A large nursing home, I'm not going to even tell you their name. You can go look it up if you want. A large nursing home that was targeted for years. Targeted. Notice the choice of words. Targeted. I thought state regulatory agencies were there to help make sure that something got better. And only if it didn't get better. So was this place targeted from the beginning? I don't think so. But who knows? That was targeted for years by government regulators. We had in my earlier discussion, I talked about one of the things that the previous article I read, was that more government regulation was needed. Was targeted for years by government regulators for poor quality care, has decided to voluntarily close after inspectors determined that a female resident was abused multiple times by another resident at the facility that you don't know at this point, but both of whom had dementia. For 37 months, and the company denies this later on, by the way, so I don't want to read anything into this, the nursing home, blah, 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 was on the federal government's consumer beware list of troubled facilities. You need to know that that list sometimes can be a year old. Other facilities nationwide came and went from the list, but this one remained, supposedly operating under stepped up, supposedly operating. Again, I hate it when words like that are used, because it makes it's facts, not in evidence. It's something that supposedly was going on. Why not go get the reports, their public record, and use those instead of, I'm teaching you how to read articles here, folks. I'm not defending anybody because I haven't read the state reports. Hanging on every nursing home wall by law is a list of all the complaints. You can go to the federal website, Medicare website, and you can read all the complaints for like the last 7-8 years. Other facilities nationwide came and went. Other facilities nationwide? How many? 500? 12? 3,000? I don't even remember how many nursing homes there are statewide, but there's a lot. It's in the tens and tens and tens of thousands. So when you say other facilities nationwide came and went from the list, is that 2? Is that 500? What does that mean? But this facility remained anyhow. Documents obtained late Friday from the California Department of Public Health show that the state recommended this summer that federal regulators drop the facility from its Medicare provider roles, a drastic action that strips a nursing home. Which documents? Which public health documents obtained? There's a lot of reports available from the Department of Public Health. Lots of them. Lots and lots and lots. You can go on the internet and find them. Instead, the nursing home's owner acted first. Wait a minute. If there were, this has been going on for 37 months, supposedly, and the nursing home just acted, how did the nursing home act first? It's been under supposed, what was the word that the writer said? Targeted. It's been targeted for 37 months by state regulators. So if the owner is just now acting, how is that first? Okay, I'm going to get angry here and say something I shouldn't. Again, maybe this all should have happened. Instead, the nursing home, in a business move that will upend, how do you know it's a business move? Maybe it's because of the 37 months of being targeted. Maybe it's because of a whole bunch of lawsuits filed by a section of the bar that specializes in suing nursing homes. Maybe they deserve to get, but again, it doesn't say. It's a business move that will upend the daily lives of dozens of patients and their families and significantly reduce the number of skilled nursing beds in the Sacramento region. Blah, 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 blah. The company took issue with the state, though, noting that the 126-bed facility had self-reported the allegation in February. The company disputed the state's findings that an immediate jeopardy citation was warranted or even that the facility was out of compliance at all. So the state issued, or supposedly issued, a finding of immediate jeopardy, known as an IJ, is a heart stopper for nursing home operators. I love all the hyperbole. Operators and can carry among the steepest penalties. Immediate jeopardy is called when a provider is non-compliance has caused or is likely to cause harm. Again, I'm reading from the article. I'm not making this up. Okay, now I got to change pages, so bear with me. There's going to be some rattling of pages. Okay? Blah, 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 blah. The facility's failure to safeguard the woman had placed all 36 female residents. Again, never mind. The facility's failure to safeguard the woman had placed all 36 female residents at risk, the state found. How did it find that? What investigation did it do? Did this person ever try to, again, both these people, they're both patients, both have dementia. Had this person with dementia tried to do this before? This facility had self-reported to the state that the person had been found in February in the other person's room doing something. On June 22nd, the state notified the nursing home. It was recommending that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services terminate its provider agreement. A month later, blah, 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 a lawyer for the nursing home notified the state it would voluntarily close, calling the immediate jeopardy citation the straw that brings us to make this difficult decision. If this happened, it's a terrible thing. My objection and my comments here are limited to the way it's portrayed as supposition. It's always easy to blame the insurance company, to blame the car company, to blame the nursing home, to blame the assisted living facility. There are at least two that I know, three, there were ads in newspapers all over California recently asking for complaints from people in different chains of assisted living to try to create a class action lawsuit against these. They didn't have any particular thing going. They were asking people if they had any complaints. The closure of one of the region's large, I'm reading from the article, skilled nursing facilities startled elder care advocates. Why would it startle them? If the place has been under investigation for 37 months, if it's been targeted, it appears that the state, if I'm reading between the lines, was trying to close it. It doesn't appear that the state was trying to rehab it or fix it. Targeting means we're trying, if I'm targeting somebody, I'm trying to close them. I'm trying to go after them. Over the years, the facility has had its share of notoriety, again, a pejorative term, including a rash of state citations and fines. What's a rash? Is that 300? Is that 12? Is that two a year? Some of the citations have become, and this happens all the time, if you go to the website, the Medicare website, you'll see that a facility may have gotten 12 citations in a year. 10 of them were for a form where they left a blank or they put it in the wrong box or whatever. It's a citation for a form that didn't get filled out correctly. I'm not making it up. You can go to the website and you'll see the vast majority of citations are for forms that weren't filled out correctly. Some recent inspection reports, I'm reading from the article, show the facility had been written up and penalized for inadequately treating or preventing bed sores. Some recent, how recent? What's recent? 1 year, 2 years, 12 years, 15 years? How many? Decubitus is a real issue in hospitals and nursing homes, bed sores. It's a real problem. I'll admit it's a real problem. And it probably deserves more attention. But some recent inspection reports that the facility had been written up and penalized for inadequate treatment or preventing, never mind, or failing to self-report possible abuse. But they did self-report. I'm confused. Okay, they also got reported for not attempting CPR on a resident who wished to be resuscitated. That gets confusing sometimes, to say the least. But none of the healthcare advocates contacted by the Bee late this week was aware of the sexual abuse allegations that preceded that, but they self-reported it. The fact that an advocate isn't aware of it, they self-reported it, the state knew about it. So why wasn't it posted? That's the state's responsibility. This really caught us off guard, said blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to tell you who he is because it doesn't matter. The local office first learned about the company's closure plans around mid-August. But they've been targeted for 37 months. How much time do I have left? I'm going to run out of time. This is going to have a big impact. Where are we going to find homes for these people? And why are they closing the facility in the first place? Because they've been targeted for 37 months by the state of California, and they've probably had several lawsuits filed against them, would be my guess, based on the other people who commented in this article. It's why you have to read stuff carefully. You didn't know they were closing. You're a state agency. That's who the quote's coming from. You didn't know they were closing, but you know they've been targeted for 36 months or 37 months. A spokesperson for the healthcare facility said they would not say why the facility was closing. That the facility is coordinating the closure with the California Department of Public Health. And so the Department of Public Health knew about it. So one government agency doesn't know that the other government agency has already been informed the facility is closing, and they've known that since August. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. And they will try to transfer all the patients someplace else. There's a whole regimen that a facility has to follow. When they close, it's spelled out in state law. There's 59 nursing homes in the 4-county region. Only 15, or about a quarter, have more beds than this one. So they're also going to lose 72 jobs because the 72 people that worked at this nursing home now will not have a job. And nobody can figure it out. Yet the facility, according to the author, has been targeted for 37 months. A spokesperson for the California Department of Public Health, which licenses and inspects nursing homes, said the state approved the closure and relocation plan on August the 4th. Folks, that was a month ago. Yet another state agency said they didn't know anything about it. When you read articles like this, you have to read them carefully. You have to read them and look for inconsistencies and half-truths and innuendo. Again, whatever happened, I'm going to assume happened. Under California law, if 10 or more residents are likely to be moved, I'm reading from the article, to a change in a nursing home's operation, the facility must submit a proposed relocation plan to the state and cannot proceed until it's approved. Whenever homes close, advocates worry about possible transfer. But they had approval. They had approval on August the 4th. All of that. So it makes it sound as if they didn't have approval, but they did. In the paragraph before, it says they had approval. And then it quotes some other people. One of the people it quotes is from an attorney referral service that makes millions of dollars a year in their fees from referring people to attorneys who sue nursing homes. So anyhow, that's as much as I'm going to state on that. As a result, an assemblyman, let's get in on this, make some political hay, introduced a bill that would increase the amount of advance warning that residents and others receive prior to nursing home closure. AB 275 is currently on the governor's desk. I mean, there's so much I could say here, folks, and I have to be really, really careful. I'm just trying to get you to read this stuff, not from a hyperbolic standpoint, but from an understanding. I'm not trying to take away from the event. If the event happened, the event should be dealt with. If the nursing home deserved to get fined or sued, then the nursing home should get fined or sued or whatever. But in 37 months, evidently, of the state looking at this, they were unable to fix whatever problems existed. One of the, in my opinion, one of the things a regulatory agency is supposed to do is if they find a, for instance, if you go to a restaurant, if the health inspector comes in and finds a cockroach, they don't close the restaurant. They help the, they cite the restaurant and say, you gotta fix the cockroach problem. Or whatever it is. They don't, it's over a period of time. Well, this place, according to the article, has been targeted for 37 months. That's more than 3 years. What things was the state doing to ameliorate or fix whatever problems it said existed? Why does nobody ask why the state, if this was a problem for 37 months, why is the state now surprised that they're going to close? I don't have an answer for that. I'm looking, there's another thing, I forgot to highlight this, but newsprint doesn't like highlighters very well. Blah, 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 blah. Other lawsuits against the chain that owns this, does that tell you anything? The nursing homes, and then they bring in another nursing home chain and talk about how bad that nursing, it's got nothing to do with this one. They just bring that in. On the latest list of special focus facilities, that's the from CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, their special focus facility list, on the latest list updated August 17th, only one nursing home out of 118 nationwide that were publicly identified had been on the list longer than this nursing home. So if it's been on the, who was working to solve the problems? California, listen to this. California has 1,241 skilled nursing homes. It has seven out of 1,241 on that list, on the federal focus list, seven out of 1,241. And then it mentioned some others. Seven. The other California homes are defined by the government as having serious quality issues and have been assigned to the program to stimulate improvements. So somebody's trying to improve it. Here's the point. Here's what I'm trying to take away from this article. I think the article does a disservice because it doesn't really focus on where some focus should be. We all know it's easy to, again, I don't know what happened in a nursing home. If what they said happened, it's terrible. I'm not trying to take away from that. But if a state agency doesn't know what's happening in another state agency, if one program doesn't know what the other program's doing, if in fact this facility has been targeted for 37 months and it has all these problems, why was it allowed by the state to operate for 37 months? What was the state doing during all that time? Do we have enough inspectors for 1,200 nursing homes in California? Is it a budgetary item that needs to be addressed? Who's doing the inspections? Why do we not know anything about this? Why is nobody asking questions of the agency that was tasked with fixing these problems? Yes, it's easy to sue the nursing home. Yes, it's easy to blame the nursing home. And I'm not defending the nursing home. I'm saying the way the article is constructed, you might never know any of the underlying issues. It's why more than ever, you need to make sure you've picked the best facility with the best record. You know how to look at a nursing home and figure out where you want to be and where you don't want to be. After the fact, sometimes it's too late. Sorry I don't have more time on this. Thanks so much for listening. Give me a call. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com, 800-999-8007. If you're having problems, give me a call. I can help. And together, we can answer the two great questions of life. Who's going to take care of me? And how are we going to pay for it? Read wisely. That's my best advice today. We'll see you here next week, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future.